Amen. Praise God. Let's go ahead and start off with a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, that this is the day that you have made. We thank you right now, Lord God, that we are operating under apostolic government. We thank you, Father God, for our apostle, Lord God, setting up apostolic government and, Lord God, putting everything in order, Lord God, so that we can be mobilized properly to do the work of the ministry, Lord God. We just thank you right now, Lord God, that we're hearing messages and getting information, Lord God, that's life-changing, Lord God, hallelujah, and that's going to shake the foundation of the world. We thank you and we give you all the praise for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. We're going to talk about a topic that your book mentions towards the end. It talked about loyalty, and that word loyalty really stuck out with me. What it means to be loyal and the difference between loyalty and disloyalty. And then the Lord began to deal with me and he showed me that when a person begins to operate in disloyalty, it's the first phase of actually walking into dishonor. Because a lot of times a person don't just automatically walk into dishonor. It's a process. And it first starts with being disloyal. And we're going to talk about that. Amen? All right. There is a blatant dishonor. Dishonor that is completely obvious. But then there's a more subtle dishonor, something that's not so recognizable. Saul in the Bible, when he disobeyed the prophet Samuel by not utterly destroying all of the Amalekites, that was a blatant dishonor. You've got specific instructions, but you didn't do it. So you walked in dishonor for your disobedience. But then there's some dishonor or disloyalty that's not as so blatant or obvious, that's more subtle, as in Judas, his disloyalty when he betrayed Jesus. Though he walked with Jesus, he was there everywhere, but at the end, his disloyalty to Jesus caused him to betray Jesus and to basically, you know, say, point him out that this is Jesus. And that led, even though that was something that, you know, God said it was set in place for that purpose. He was set there for that purpose, but it began with his disloyalty to Jesus. So we're going to look at disloyalty and what loyalty is. Let me give you a definition of loyalty. Loyalty is the state or quality of being loyal, faithful, one who is full of faithfulness and commitment to a cause, steadfastness, sticking to one's assignment, commitment, or obligations. Faithfully committed to a vision. When you are faithful or loyal, you're faithfully committed to a vision or to a visionary or to an apostolic assignment. Faithfulness, adherence to a sovereign apostolic government, a leader, a cause, a commitment to help fulfill and establish God's kingdom and God's government. A person who is loyal will be faithful to adhere to establishing God's kingdom, you know, sticking with the assignment. And all of that is being loyal to whom God has put you in allegiance or alliance with. Amen. Loyalty is displayed in one's consecration. A solemn commitment of your life and your time to some cherished purpose, to a service or a goal, a mission or a vision. One's commitment and consecration to one's leader, your pastor, your prophet, or your apostle. Let me read that again. Loyalty is displayed in one's consecration. And I'm going to stop with consecration. When you're consecrated, that means that technically you're set apart to do something. You got to see yourself as being consecrated to being here and sitting here this afternoon. You're not here by accident. You're not here because you thought it was a good thing to do. You're here by divine appointment. And you've heard me say many, many times before, my desire was to be somewhere else when I first, you know, started pursuing God. But God said, no, specifically told me, I don't want you to go to this particular Bible school. The way God did it, like I said, I couldn't even write. I was writing my fiance, who's now my wife, a letter saying I was going to be attending, you know, Bible school in Tulsa. And the minute I began to put the word Tulsa down, my hand began trembling. And I tried two or three times. And the reason why I'm saying that is it's a consecration. Because God, you know, my desire was to serve God, but God had other plans for me. And then when I recognized after praying in the Holy Spirit for about 40 minutes after I, got up off my desk and started praying, and my roommate tried to come in the room, as I stated before, and he said he couldn't even come in. The presence of God was so strong. And then when he finally came in, he stood by the door for about 10 minutes until the power of God waned. And he said, "What's going on?" I told him, I said, "I'm not going to Tulsa." I said, you know, God said no. But after my wife and I got married and two or three years into our marriage, when we came and sat down with the apostle, all of a sudden, direction from God began to direct me in the path that I needed to go. And when this school started, I never forget, the apostle said, "I'm starting a school of ministry. And I want, you know, those ministers who are, you know, feel like they have a call of God on their lives to be a part of that." God starts speaking to me again, because I was in the right place at the right time to do what God called me to do. But that's, you know, it's got to be a consecration, a commitment. "Lord, I'm going to do what you've called me to do." Okay, so I'm going to read it again. "Loyalty is a display of one's consecration, a solemn commitment of your life and your time to a cherished purpose, to serve or a goal or a vision or a mission. One's commitment and consecration to one's leader, your apostolic leader, a pastor or a prophet, having or showing complete and constant support for someone or something is loyalty to that person and that mission or vision. It's an unswerving alliance." You know, when something swerve or swavering, you're kind of going back and forth or in and out. You know, you're not staying consistent. But when you're loyal, you're consistent. You're steady. You know, it's like an archer shooting at a bullseye. I know what my target is. I know what my assignment is. And I'm like an arrow going straight towards my assignment. I'm not swerving. I'm not like a shotgun, just a scattershot, trying this and trying that, shooting over here, you know, hoping I hit the mark. No, but it's an unswerving alliance, not wishy-washy or inconsistent. Faithful in allegiance or alliance to one's lawful, sovereign, or governmental, God's sovereign government. All right. Loyalty is the principal qualification for every minister who commits themselves to serve. Loyalty is the principal qualification for everyone who commits themselves to serve. In an alliance of honorable men, there is loyalty to our commitment to a commitment as a subordinate to a superior. There's always going to be ranks. Apostle just talked about that. And the word subordinate doesn't mean that you're any less, but that God has ranks. He has levels. We talked about that many, many times. And once you know where you fit in God's hierarchy, you function in that particular lane. And one thing God told me, he said, a lot of people want to be in the forefront, want to be on stage, want to be recognized, want to be the ones to get all the accolades. But he said, if I called you to a particular area, he said, I'm going to anoint you and equip you for that particular assignment. And it is no less an assignment, because when you fulfill that, you're fulfilling the will and the purpose of God for your life. And it's just as big an assignment, because it's your assignment. You know, it's so very important that you fulfill your assignment in the vision that God's called you to. And let me move on, because my time is moving. A lot of people think that a gifted person or a talented person is the one to serve in ministry. Those who are good orators and have, you know, a good persona in their speaking. You know, I remember this one guy, he was talking about homiletics, how you pronounce and how you, you know, bring your presence forth, the homiletics and the way you enunciate the words and you know, and holler or scream or whatever it is that they do, you know. But it, that doesn't, a person with all of these talents and abilities, they're not the ones more qualified for ministry. Experience has shown that it is the faithful and loyal person in a church organization who has the most, who's the most qualified to be a leader or to be in ministry. Not always the most gifted, but those that stay committed to the end. Some immature Christians may think that the more anointed you are, or the more gifted you are, will make you a good leader or a good pastor. But here it is, and be not mistaken. The Bible teaches us that the cardinal qualification, one of the uttermost importance for leadership, must be faithfulness first before anything else. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, it says, "Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. Moreover, it is required of a steward to be found faithful." And when you're found faithful, that means that you're loyal. Loyalty is just a component of you being faithful. When you're faithful, there's loyalty there because there's commitment there. There's adhering to the assignment. There's unwavering alliance, and that's so very important. And you see, when you have those qualifications, you cannot help but walk in honor, because honor is going to the faithfulness and the loyalty is going to precede the honor, because as you do what God's called you to do, stick with the assignment, you know, God's going to honor you because you're honoring him with your faithfulness. It's a direct, you know, I've said this many times, you know, I'm blessed. And the reason why is because, you know, for some reason, you know, I'm not one to just give up and quit. If I'm given something to do, I want to stick with it till the end. You know, God's going to honor your faithfulness. I can tell you that by not by what I've read, but by my personal life experiences. Let me move on. Disloyalty is an act. Dishonor is the outcome. So in other words, when you start to walk in disloyalty, any person that operates in disloyalty is in the beginning stages of walking in the spirit of dishonor. And if not turned around or put back on track to the position of being loyal, will dishonor themselves and will not be qualified to be a faithful steward of Christ. As I said, disloyalty is the act, and dishonor will be the outcome. A disloyal person breeds strife, hatred, murmuring. Disloyalty, they also breed disloyal sentiment. And it's like smoke that fills a room. You know when there's a fire or something is burning, a smoke will fill the container that it's in. And the only way to get rid of the smoke is to get rid of the fire. If you get rid of the fire, the smoke gonna go away. You know, and that's why you know, it's very, very important. People in leadership roles whose hearts are not in the work of the ministry need to be encouraged to step down or to leave. If the heart cannot be turned because they will, if they can't be turned, if their hearts are still in a disloyal sense, it'll cripple the ministry. If their heart is not with the vision, they will negatively influence other people. You know, because disloyalty and unfaithfulness is going to only breed disloyalty and unfaithfulness. You know, because they're going to be, like I said earlier, murmuring and complaining, strife, bitterness, jealousy, pride is going to come in. And all of those things will, believe it or not, eventually cause one to walk in dishonor. Let me move on. Jesus said, he that is not with me is against me. That's Matthew 12 and 30. So if you're not with the assignment, you're against the assignment. You know, so one of the things I always ask God, you know, in dealing with people, show me the person's heart, because I want to, you know, I don't want to waste my time with somebody who's not fully committed to the assignment. You know, show me their heart. You see, the core strength of any great organization depends on its members walking in loyalty. The core strength of any great organization depends on the members of that organization walking in loyalty. Those who are faithfully committed to the vision. Let's see, do I want to say this now? I'm going to go ahead and say it. One of the avenues of disloyalty, when a person begins to walk in disloyalty, they have what is called an independent spirit. What I mean by an independent spirit is a spirit that's thinking only about themselves. You know, we've always talked about the concept as one man, teamwork, you know, working together, you know, for a common vision. But a person with an independent spirit, they're only really thinking about themselves, their agenda, their program, and not concerned so much for the cause of Christ, but what can Jesus do for me, or what can you do for me? And those are the type of people you have to look out for. I'll give you an example. I remember this one situation. Well, one of the things the apostle has always says, he don't want no no selling, no soliciting in the church. And he said, this is not a place for solicitation. It's a place for the word of God to come forth. You know, and there are people who try to pass their business cards or promote their agenda, you know, because they say, well, these people must have money, so I can get them involved and get some of their support. And I remember this one particular individual, they were pushing their agenda, and they were told not to do it, and told specifically not to do it. And all of a sudden, one day, I never forget, I'm watching them from a distance, and I'm looking at them. I said, Lord, something's going on. And I didn't know what it was, but later on that evening, me and my wife was talking, and I was mentioning it to her, and she said, well, just pray about it and ask God to give you some insight. And so I said, okay, Lord, you know, show me what's going on. A minute later, I received a call from an individual telling me exactly what the person was doing. So I called headquarters, and headquarters took care of it, because they were, you know, and one thing, you know, that's why it's so important to pray for discernment, because, you know, the Bible says it's the little foxes that spoil the vine, those little things that happen that'll spoil the vine. And it's so very important that we nip those things at the bud. One of the prayers we pray here at Word of Life is expose, reveal, remove, and replace. You know, if you're not with the assignment, you're going to be exposed. God's going to reveal it. You're going to be removed. And God's going to bring somebody in who's going to be more loyal. Most times, sometimes you'll lose somebody. So that was a good person. God's going to replace them with somebody better. I've seen that happen every time. Let me move on. You see, the core strength in any organization, as I stated earlier, depends on its members walking in loyalty. Without loyalty, listen to this, without loyalty being at the core of every network or organization of churches, there will be constant competition, competitive jealousy, dissension, finally disintegration. In other words, you're just going to disintegrate. You know, you're going to be exposed to the point where it's just going to blow up in your face, a disintegration. I'm going to read that again. Without loyalty being at the core of every network or organization of churches, there will be constant competition, all people trying to compete against one another. And when that happens, that's going to bring on competitive jealousy, just, you know, being jealous because somebody think they got more than you or trying to outdo you. And it's not about that. We're one man. When you do your assignment, even if that assignment is just, you know, making sure that the cars get out of the parking lot safely, you know, that assignment is just as important as if you were doing something more involved in ministry, because you're helping the ministry and you're, you know, is I always use the illustration of the little toe on your body. If you cut off your little toe, your balance is completely off. You can't walk. That toe, as smallest member of your body, has an extremely important function. And that's why it's so important to be loyal at what God calls you to do, because, you know, you may think it's small, but God sees it as important, because it's a function inside the body. Every cell, we notice, every part of our body is important. You let one of the internal organs in your body start to malfunction, it's going to affect the whole body. It's going to eventually affect the whole body, and if you don't get it straight, you just might die early. And that's why I thank God for an apostle that's teaching us about health, about putting the right nutrients in our body, the micronutrients, so that we can, you know, begin to repair our bodies. Amen? All right, let me move on. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to begin to talk about 8 stages. I probably won't even get past stage 1 today, but 8 stages, and these stages are stages of disloyalty. And I really already started when I talked about the independent spirit. The independent spirit is so subtle that most people do not recognize it as it actually is disloyalty. When a person belongs to a group, a ministry, or company, develops an independent attitude, he sort of becomes autonomous within the group. And that word autonomous comes from the word autonomy, and that definition is responding or acting or developing independence of the whole, existing or acting separately from other things or people, having the power or right to govern oneself, not really wanting to answer to anybody. A person who's autonomous, they just there for themselves. You know, I only speak for myself, and I'm only here just for me. You know, I'm autonomous from everybody else. The rules of the organization don't control him or her when a person who's walking in autonomy. Such a person is still a part of the church, but does not want to submit to authority or apostolic instruction. And that's, I mean, if the man of God tells you something and it's for your good, and you decide to go otherwise, that's not only being disloyal, but that's being self-destructive, you know. And that's why it's so important. One thing to say, Lord, you know, search my heart, know my thoughts, you know. And if there be any subtleties of, you know, why I got to do this, why I can't do what I want to do, you know, when I know for a fact that every time I adhere to what the man of God has stated and adhere to it strictly, I've seen the benefit and the outcome every time in every situation, you know. So a person who has an independent spirit, when someone is speaking on the grounds of autonomy, they're speaking for themselves independently of the group or organization they are affiliated with. For instance, a pastor may say, we're going to be fasting on Friday. A person with an independent spirit say, well, I've already committed to fasting on Wednesday, so I'm not going to fast on Friday. I'm going to fast on Wednesday. Even though that seems slight, but that's disloyalty. And that's disloyalty. You know, if the pastor says, I need you here on Tuesday and Sunday for me to get everything I want to get to you, and you say, well, I'm just coming on Sunday because traditionally I always just came to church on Sunday, that's disloyalty, you know. So in a lot of areas, if it's not turned, it's going to breed more disloyalty, because you think, well, I got away with this, I can get away with that, and then all of a sudden your disloyalty is going to lead to dishonor because you're not committed. All right. I'll give you another example. The apostle calls members to a special meeting, you know, but that person with an independent spirit decides to attend those meetings he feels that's only important to him. In other words, well, you know, I already got good help. I don't need to, you know, I'm in good shape, you know, so I don't need to attend. You know, that's disloyal. That's disloyal, you know. Because what you're telling God is, God, I'm okay. And God is trying to say, no, you're not okay. I'm trying to get you somewhere that you can't get by yourself. You know, because There are certain areas I know in my life personally, I would not be there if it wasn't for Apostle. If it was, but see, it takes loyalty and commitment and faithfulness to adhere into the instructions, you know, and see that causes you now to walk in honor because, you know, that's attributes of honor. But when you're disloyal, you know, eventually it's going to lead to disloyalty and dishonor. A person with an independent spirit only obeys certain instructions, only the one he thinks are really important to him. You know, I'm only going to listen to so much of it, I'm going to throw this and put it on the shelf. That's disloyal. And that disloyalty will lead to dishonor. Let me give you a good illustration. The author of the book that I'm reading here says, an example of an independent, of somebody being independent are, give you an illustration. The nation of Ghana, or say Barbados. I remember my wife and I, we went to Barbados when Apostle was ministering there several years ago. And while we were there, they had a national holiday. I don't remember what they called it, but they were all dancing in the street, had costumes on like they were at Rio de Janeiro, you know, partying and having a good time. And, you know, I'm saying, well, what's going on? They said, well, this is a national holiday. You know, in America, nobody was celebrating that holiday because that nation, that country of Barbados was independent of the United States. When we celebrate the 4th of July as our independence, Barbados don't celebrate it. And see, that's kind of the same way with a person with an independent spirit. But they want to be a part of the group. You know, want to be a part of the country or the organization, but they're not going to adhere to the things that the organization does, you know, and that's being independent of and not being as one man. When you begin to exhibit a spirit of independence within an organization, let it be known you are slowly becoming disloyal to that organization, which, like I said, which is not checked or turned around, will cause you to be led into to total dishonor. If you belong to an organization, you are to not be independent of that organization. Therefore, you cannot just do and think, you know, how you want to do what you want to do. Let me read that again. If you belong to an organization, you are not independent of that organization. Therefore, you cannot just do what you think is right or what you want to do. You must follow the protocol of the organization, you know, or the directives of the leader. Loyal members comply with the directives that come from the head. I'm going to re-say that again. Loyal members comply with the directives that come from the head. You know, and I always use the illustration of the military because if you don't follow orders in the military, your life may depend upon it. You know, if you're told to stay at this beachhead or to stay and to guard this territory, your job is to make sure that nothing comes past you, that, you know, that when somebody comes here, you take them out, because if they pass you, then they're coming to destroy the camp or to, you know, so you have to, you know, the one of the key elements is staying on your post. You know, if you're in the military, you if your post is to do this, well, you stay on your post because everybody has a job to do, and every job is important. You know, even if your job is just to put gasoline in the trucks, you know, you need to stay on your post because when a truck need gas, it's hauling troops to the battlefield. So if you're not on there, well, then a truck ain't going to get filled, and you got several troops that won't make it to the battlefield because you decided to get off your post. You know, so it's so important to stay on your post. Loyal members, as I said, will comply with the dictates or the directives that come from the head. Those is known at these are known as complying with spiritual authority. When you comply with the directives that come from the head, you're complying with spiritual authority. Where there are independent people in the Bible, yes, they are. And I'm going to give you some illustrations of people in the Bible that were independent. King David, this is an illustration. It's coming out of 2 Samuel chapter 3, verses 20 to 21. But anyway, David was the head of the government. He was the apostolic leader, King David, in the Old Testament in 2 Samuel 3, 20 through 21. And he decided to have peace with one of his lead men, Abner, because they had been having conflict. I'm just kind of paraphrasing it. So King David calls for a celebration or calls for a feast and invites Abner and about 20 of his loyal followers, because Abner was like a general under King David. And so they go and they have a feast with David, and then he tells King David that I'm going to go and make sure that all of Israel comply and come under your leadership. So my job now is to make all Israel now come in one with you, King. And the Bible says that Abner left in peace. Well, David had another high-ranking official in his regiment by the name of Joab, and he was really upset and frustrated when he found out that the king, you know, had Abner come and feasted with him. And so when Abner left to go on his assignment for the king, Joab had some of his men go and find him and tell him that he wanted to speak with him. And so Abner stopped and Joab went, and when he went to him, he went and he killed him because of maybe competitive jealousy. Maybe he thought he should have been the one to go and do this job. But he had an independent spirit. Now, this is an extreme example of somebody with an independent spirit where, you know, the leader says, I'm going to appoint you to do this, but because you don't like it, you come and you intervene and do something detrimental, as in this case, as killing the guy that King David, you know, had the feast with and had given the assignment to and told him to go ahead, and he left in peace. You know, a person with an independent spirit will do what they want to do, you know, irregardless to the dictates of, and you see, the action brought on dishonor. The action brought on dishonor, you know, and disloyalty first was the first key element. Because if you were loyal, if, you know, one of the things I always tell people, you know, I know we don't go to Burger King or McDonald's anymore, but just imagine yourself being in line to be served, and you're driving up to a driving window, and they're serving green smoothies, okay? and it might be five or six cars in front of you, but, you know, you're not going to get upset with the people in front of you, because every time one car moves, that's one step closer you are to getting your green smoothie. So, you know, whenever somebody gets promoted, it should be an honor, and we rejoice with them, you know. But a person with an independent spirit, they got other ideas. They have other ideas. Amen? All right. So King David, who was the head of the government, you know, like I said, he made the decision, but Joab, J-O-A-B, you know, he decided, now I'm going to take matters in my own hands. Give you another illustration that something that Joab did. Joab moves independently against Absalom. Absalom was King David's son. Now, in this scenario, Absalom actually came against King David with his army and his people, and actually overthrew King David for a brief period of time. And so now Absalom, he rebelled, and he kind of ousted or came, you know, took over the throne of the government of King David. And Absalom was in power, and King David had to face the bizarre consequences of having to fight against his own son. But in the midst of these extraordinary situations, King David specifically told his men not to harm his son Absalom. He says, I want my throne back. He said, I know my son is going against me, but whatever you do, don't kill my son. Don't kill Absalom. You know, but here again, Joab. One of David's men during the battle said they saw Absalom after a battle, and he was hung up in a tree. Matter of fact, hung up by his hair. And then Joab, with his independent self, said, and you mean to tell me you didn't kill him? And the guy said, we had strict orders from King David not to do Absalom no harm, you know, to spare my son. And then Joab says, okay, where he at? Where he's at? And so Joab now, he, I guess, gets on his horse or however he gets there and finds Absalom and you know, stabs him and kills him, kills the king's son. Thank you. Here again, somebody taking matters in their own hands against the dictates and the directive of leadership. You know, that'll bring you dishonor quick, fast, and in a hurry. Like I said, I'm giving you some extreme examples, but a lot of times it could just be a subtle attitude. You know, somebody gets put in a position over you or a position that you used to hold, and now, you know, a person with an independent spirit of allow pride and jealousy and resentment or competitive jealousy to get involved, and that'll lead them into dishonor, which, if not checked and turned around, will eventually lead them into complete and total dishonor. Amen? All right. As saints of God, it's so very important that we walk in honor. And when I say honor, that means honor by walking in complete and total allegiance and alliance to whom God has called us to. And by doing that, one of the key elements of doing that is walking in complete and total humility. You know, but before honor is humility. And humility, I like to use that word a lot, because humility simply means that I'm humbly submitting to the dictates and the directives of what I've been given from apostolic leadership. Humility does not mean that you're humble or humble and that you're weak or inferior, you know, because you see, one of the things I've learned, the grace, the apostolic grace that's on this ministry, when you humbly do your assignment, the grace and the anointing that's on apostle comes upon you to fulfill that assignment. And that humility, the Bible says how Jesus humbled himself and became obedient unto death, and I've shared this before. Well, that humbleness allowed the grace of God now to, the Bible says, he was now exalted after he was raised from the dead because of his humbleness to experience and to go through the death and the death on the cross. Because of him fully obeying the will of the Father, God says, now I'm going to highly exalt you, and I'm going to give you a name that is above every other name. Why? Because of his humility. You know, when we humbly walk in our God-given assignments, we can't help but be honored. You know, that's why I tell people, you're more anointed doing what God called you to do than any other time. I only have about a minute left, so I'm not going to get into the second area much. But the second area that when people walk into disloyalty, I'm going to just kind of touch on it, is people who walk in offense. And when you're offended is when you allow something that happened to rub you the wrong way, to make you feel out of joint, and you get offended. You know, offense is a deadly cancer. You don't want to walk in offense, because offense will eventually lead you into disloyalty, will in turn, if not checked, cause you to walk in dishonor. You know, offense, I mean, you know, even Jesus' hometown was offended at him, you know, because they saw him as a boy, and all of a sudden now he's coming into his own, and he's ministering, and he's ministering under the anointing of God. And they said, you know, isn't this Mary and Joseph's son? You know, his sisters we know, his brothers we know. You know, who does he think he is? You know, now, and the Bible said they were offended of him, you know. But Jesus couldn't dare do no, in other words, the anointing and the power of God that was on Jesus couldn't help him much, because they were so offended. And all offense will short circuit the power of God in your life. And that's why it's so important to not walk in offense. You know, to get a matter straight. The Bible says don't even let the sun go down on your wrath. You know, so if you get offended by somebody or get your nose out of joint because of something happened, you need to get it straight. I mean, there's a song by a group that back in the 80s, just between you and me, I got to get this straight before the sun go down, you know, because it's gonna hinder my way to freedom, you know. So it's so important not to walk in offense. And we'll talk about that more at our next class session. You guys be blessed.